Support for this public radio podcast comes from KeyBank, focused knowledge, customized solutions, and the resources of an entire bank. Because the best solutions fit around a business's needs. More at key.com/corporate. And by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. Information at BNYMellonWealthManagement.com.
Oil's back above 90.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Every time the price of oil drops lately, it seems to go right back up even higher than it was before. This week, oil fell below $87 a barrel, but then this morning in Europe, it hit another record high above 92. Let's bring in our European correspondent, Stephen Beard. Stephen, what's going on this time?
Clearly, the biggest factor is Iran, the U.S. deciding to step up its pressure, increase its economic sanctions against Tehran. That has raised worries in the market that this could potentially disrupt supplies from the Middle East. So it's principally geopolitical worries.
Well, but just this week, just a couple of days ago, the price of oil dropped quite a few dollars because traders were concerned about the weakening U.S. economy. So that's
right.
Already out the window.
Well, yes, that's it. It does seem to be the market is being pulled this way and that. Indeed, we have had for some weeks now this concern about the possibility of a weakening U.S. economy. And yet we had just the other day figures showing that U.S. crude oil stocks fell unexpectedly by 5.3 million barrels. So that has stoked fears that demand, especially as winter approaches in the Northern Hemisphere, could possibly exceed supply.
And where is OPEC in all of this?
Well, OPEC is repeating its old mantra and saying there is enough oil in the market. We're planning to pump another 500,000 barrels a day starting next week. OPEC puts down this price surge to financial speculation.
All right, our correspondent Stephen Beard in London. Thank you.
Okay, Scott.
Wall Street ends the week about where it started. The Dow is at 13,671. It fell 3 points yesterday. The S&P 500 dropped 1 point to 13,671. Or actually, that's the Dow once again. The NASDAQ was down 23 points to 2,750. In Japan today, the Nikkei gained 1.5%. European shares are mixed so far. It's been a good week for Apple. The company turned in a stellar profit report, and today Apple releases its new operating system, codename Leopard. It's getting great reviews so far. Here's Elisa Roth.
Leopard comes with around 300 new tricks, some more useful than others. A Danish spell checker might fit into that less useful category, while the most exciting change falls into the other one. Bill Fernley Jr. is an analyst who follows the computer hardware industry. He says this is the first time you can use any Windows program on your Macintosh.
You can install Windows on your Macintosh, you can install that application on your Macintosh, and you can switch between Windows and you can switch over to Macintosh.
That's key, he says, because it'll make it easier for customers to switch between home and work computers.
It's making more people or encouraging more people to consider the Macintosh.
That's important because despite its record earnings and a cult-like following among users, Macs make up less than 10% of computer purchases.
But will Macintoshes rule the world? They probably won't.
He says that's because Macintosh's computers are simply too expensive for many consumers and businesses. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by BNY Mellon Wealth Management. Since 1784, helping successful individuals and families protect and maximize wealth. BNYMellonWealthManagement.com. Science and technology reports are supported by Boston Scientific, committed to delivering what's next in medical technology to help clinicians improve and extend lives. BostonScientific.com. Conversations from the Corner Office, Dialogues with Top CEOs, is supported by Society for Human Resource Management, also sponsoring PBS's CEO Exchange, shrm.org.
For a long time, people have been saying video conferencing is going to change the way people do business. It's so much cheaper and more efficient. But up till now, the technology really hasn't been up to snuff. Well, we've caught up to the future. Jill Barchet reports.
Let's face it, telephone conference calls are boring. They don't hold your attention, and you have no idea what people are up to on the other end. Charles Stuckey is a vice president at Cisco Systems. He knows.
Well, I shouldn't admit it because someone might be listening whom I report to, but the first thing I do is hit the mute button, and then I start doing other things. And then I'm half paying attention at best.
Stuckey's paying attention right now. He's in California, and he's talking to me on a new Cisco video conferencing setup. Video conferencing used to have a bad rap. You know, the voice delays and video glitches. But companies like Cisco and Hewlett-Packard are marketing products that use better technology. They're all calling it telepresence.
Hi, guys. Good to see you.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
No one's playing office golf or back-of-the-door darts. The sound doesn't drop out. People are life-sized on huge screens.
This is right out of Star Wars.
Tony Matera is a senior vice president at Wachovia Securities. Wachovia installed a telepresence system about 3 months ago.
We would arrange trips, and then somebody would remember, wait a minute, we've got telepresence technology. Now, we don't need to spend the time and money on this flight.
Sales of video conference technology are growing at 28% a year thanks to improving technology, says Wayne House Research. Hewlett-Packard's telepresence rooms start at about $250,000. But just because you're meeting on camera doesn't mean you're going to pay attention. Julie Rodriguez works for a not-for-profit in Minnesota. She's been video conferencing for 10 years.
Well, I have to admit, I've been known to play Vortex on my iPod to keep myself focused because the meeting was boring. So, little confession there.
Wachovia's Matera also admits to doodling on camera, but on telepresence, he gets busted.
You know, short of a holographic image in the room with you sitting three-dimensionally in the chair next to you, this is as close as I've ever seen anything come to that in the 21st century.
But better conferencing technology doesn't have to mean the end of fun. Surely some bright spark will find a way for conferees in New York and L.A. to play office golf together, even when they're thousands of miles apart. In New York, I'm Jill Barshay for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.